Birth, the Grand Division, Chapter 28. "I'm not feeling too confident about your plan, General," said Semyaz as he looked down at Wes standing by the control console. "The important things are going well. In fact, better than expected," said Wes.
"Oh?
Tell me how your twisted plan is working," said Semyaza. "The four warheads have been located and are on their way to the assembly location," said Wes. "It seems the reporter still lived in spite of your attempts to kill her," said Semyaza.
"That was your idea, not mine. You have always tried to kill the whistleblowers and the ones who try to expose your plan to the masses. I have told you practically the entire time I have been here that the public does not care. Since the Clintons and Obama, they have proven that they will accept a felon as a president as long as they get what they want. This reporter has mighty friends. Do you want me to continue to try to kill her? Each time it becomes more and more public, and who knows when she will attract public sympathy," said Wes with energy.
"Humans have always cared more about themselves than they do their country. Why should I worry about that?" asked Semyaza.
"Because humans are also very powerful when they work together. You should know that. Your entire force of 200 could not stand against them when they revolted against you in times past. Don't you still have some compatriots imprisoned somewhere? Some have been killed. They learn quickly, and they are conscious beings, don't forget. They can attract another force into the battle, a force they don't even know how truly to wield yet."
Wes paused and walked around to face Semyaza closer and tugged the bottom of his dress jacket as if to shake the dust off his medals.
"We need to concentrate on their incredible ability to hate. It will extinguish their ability to love and win the souls for your master, as I have promised," said Wes with depth to his voice.
"If I let you continue with your plan, when will I know that the hearts of men have stepped into the shadows?" asked Semyaza, tilting his human-looking head backward.
"There will be two turns. The first will occur when they have the ability to stop the bombs from going off and choose to kill instead. The second will occur when the Muslims come knocking on their door begging for mercy on their shattered religion," said Wes with a chill in his tone.
"Revenge fills their hearts before the attack, and judgment overwhelms them when they have killed the God of Muhammad. Most impressive, General. You may yet capture billions while killing millions," he said, putting his white, furry hands together.
"I am not killing anyone, Master," said Wes.
"Oh, but you are providing the weapon of mass destruction."
"Those have existed for 60 years, and we have used them only twice against humans. The ancient writings say that an act of love will destroy the god of the star and crescent moon. I intend only to make sure it is an act of hatred," said Wes, spitting the last few words out of his clean-shaven face.
"Thus the prophecy will be undone. It may unravel the whole agreement. It may break the barrier between order and chaos once and for all on this accursed little planet," said Semyaza, slamming his fist into the palm of his other mighty hand.
"The Creator does not go there," said Wes.
"True, he doesn't like darkness at all. He likes to keep his hands clean," said Semyaza.
"As do you, Master," said Wes.
"Oh, I could do it, and I have. But humans keep returning to life. That is something we cannot do. The only way to end them is to make them choose darkness. Then they cannot stop. They get addicted to the suffering and the greed and the power over other humans," said Semyaza.
"As do you," said Wes again.
"It's about cause and effect, my good general. We are the downward causation," said Semyaza.
"And the conscious human is the upward causation," said Wes.
Semyaza began to show his frustration with matching wits with General Morlaix.
He had wanted many times to reach over and crush his skull to shut his mouth, but he was also fascinated by the twisted truth that the general could display. He also knew that if he killed him, he would return in another body, and he would perhaps be able to use his skills to fight the Nephilim. He resolved that he would rather have his unusual ability to plot the demise of his own race than to plot the destruction of theirs. "Oh, I may need your help with something," said Wes finally. "This is your project, General. It is your blood," said Semyaza, turning back on Wes. "There are times when a little supernatural power comes in handy in these things," said Wes. "How supernatural?" "There are rules, you know," said Semyaza. "The hacker is getting close. I need a small portal opened for some simple particles to enter our dimension," said Wes. "Humans have been tearing at that for years with CERN," said Semyaza. "Yes, but we scrubbed those reports. No one really knows what's over there." "But you do," said Wes quietly. "An accidental detection," said Semyaza. "Yes, of course. Incidental, but unmistakable," said Wes with a slightly uncomfortable hissing to his voice. "To accomplish what?" asked Semyaza. "Just a little push for his already scattered mind," said Wes. "Ah, like Tesla, one great idea and you're a genius, one more and you're a crackpot. Humans hate a genius, especially when they talk about being attacked from other dimensions," said Semyaza. "Yes, like him, only this boy is in love. They broke out two females from federal custody. He is ready for the pain," said Wes. "There was no room for love in his life. There was only the mirror of hatred looking back at him. It was only through his craft that he found peace and predictability." "Truly the most vicious creature ever created," said Semyaza. "Hell hath no fury," said Wes. "What would you like me to do?" said Semyaza, almost wishing he had not said it. But General Morlaix felt a momentary exhilaration as he had managed to put the mighty Semyaza into a position of service to him. He didn't let his face show it, but the corner of his mouth twitched ever so slightly. He held his index finger very close to his thumb and raised it up so Semyaza could see it closely. "Just a tiny tear in the fabric separating us, and 0 point. Just enough to let through some information, some energy, that will reach his sodium iodide detector. That should do it," said Wes. "You're going to let him see the gold, and then close the door?" asked Semyaza, looking away from Wes as he weighed the situation. "You see," said Wes, "there is nothing that will drive a man insane worse than gold," said Semyaza. "Truly, a man will forsake and betray family, love, and even their own soul for it," said Wes with glee. "It's risky," said Semyaza. "What risk?" asked Wes. "Not all beings are tempted by gold," said Semyaza. "Who? Jesus?" said Wes. Semyaza was quiet and did not move his gaze from Wes's. It was a risk that would mean a whole new generation of power, one that could give humans access to the stars. It could also mean a new generation of weapons, except these weapons destroy more than just planets. Still, it might take generations for humans to figure this out, and they only had a few months until the great cataclysmic separation of the two worlds was complete. This was a battle for souls right now. It was the immediate yield of billions of souls for the Dark Prince that hung in the balance. "All right, I will allow it," said Semyaza, already feeling the gravity of his decision. The general was tempted to gloat. He almost said thank you, but even that was condescending. "My master," he said finally to show his gratitude without appearing as though he was the one who had ordered Semyaza to do it. He bowed slightly and walked out of the room in clean military style. He could feel the hot gaze of Semyaza on him, but his pride would not let it sting. He was in the place of his dreams, doing the will of his desire. He was judging the world and carrying out the executions personally.